brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we have a very, very interesting reading, and I want to follow through on it because I think it's important. What for? For true faith. God wants us to have deeper faith. Just to say, oh, I believe what the Catholic Church teaches. That's not enough in one sense. Do you believe that Jesus truly is the Lord? Do you believe that you have a Father, King of all peoples, in heaven waiting for you? Do you believe that you've been saved in Jesus? But just being saved doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You're given a possibility of salvation. Yes, it's there for you. But that also means that we need to conform our lives. I don't mean we need to be holier than thous. That's not what I'm speaking about. It's a givenness of our heart, our body, our spirit to the Lord. It's saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live like you. And that doesn't mean we have to have a rosary in our hands 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means a lot more than that. Let me take a look at the reading and then I'll follow through. From the descendants of Alexander's officers, there sprang a sinful offshoot. Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus, once a hostage at Rome. He became king in the year 137 of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days, there appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law, and they seduced many people, saying, let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles all around us. Since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us. And the proposal was agreeable. You wonder what basis it was agreeable. Some from among the people promptly went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. Therefore, they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to the Gentile custom. They covered over the mark of their circumcision and abandoned the Holy Covenant. They allied themselves with the Gentiles, and they sold themselves to wrongdoing. Now, one major decision leads to another. Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, each abandoning his particular customs. All the Gentiles conformed to the command of the king. And many children of Israel were in favor of his religion. They sacrificed to idols, and they profaned the Sabbath. On the 15th day of the month Chislev in the year 145, the king erected the horrible abomination upon the altar of burnt offerings, and in the surrounding cities of Judah they built pagan altars. They also burned incense at the doors of the houses and in the streets. Any scrolls of the law which they found, they tore up and burned. Whoever was found with the scroll of the covenant, whoever observed the law, was condemned to death by royal decree. Think how that moves, how quickly one decision can lead to another. But many in Israel were determined and resolved in their hearts not to eat anything unclean. They preferred to die rather than be defiled with unclean food or to profane the Holy Covenant. And they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. Very, very, very difficult time. People not really having faith, turning away, going by, our ideas, man's ideas. Just, oh yes, this will make this good or this will make that good. But brothers and sisters, how strong is your faith? Well, I go to Mass every Sunday. That's not what I'm asking you. That's very centrally important. But there's a whole lot more. Do I love my neighbor? Do I give of what I have to help another? Little ways, maybe sometimes in big ways, but little ways. All of us are able to give something to another. Do we cross the street so we won't go by a certain person? Do we ignore them? Do we speak against people? Take a look at ourselves first. Each of us, take a look at yourself and say, are you in a position to judge another? You can call them on. You can encourage them, but brothers and sisters, the important thing is that we are living by God's commandments, and if we're not in any way, we need to repent, we need to turn to Him and ask Him to help us. Then it's real faith. It's not just mouthing the right words or going to Mass every Sunday. But is my heart in the Lord's direction? Do I want, in all the difficulties that we're facing today in the world, Lord, what would you have me do? Is it to pray more each day for the world? Is it do something else that God might want of us in our own neighborhood, our own town, our own diocese? What's God asking of us to bring back the full gospel? So many of us, and I don't presume to judge that, but there are many of us who follow the letter of the law, but we don't reach out and absorb what is God asking of me today. Oh, I go to Mass every Sunday. Good. You should. Do I thank Him? Do I teach about Him with others? I don't mean we have to go around as pious, you know, head down and veil covering us. That's not what I'm talking about. But just sharing your life with God with others when it's appropriate. It's to share what you believe and to say every day, Lord, I want what you want. The responsorial psalm today, Psalm 119, says, give me life, O Lord, and I will do your commands. Can we say that to Him? Give me life, O Lord. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. Give me life, and I will do your commands. Indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Though the snares of the wicked are twined about me, your law I have not forgotten. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts. I am attacked by malicious persecutors who are far from your law. Far from sinners is salvation, because they seek not your statutes. Brothers and sisters, that's where we want to be. Lord, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life, not just do what's required, but something that touches our heart, our mind, our spirit, that changes us. It's a deeper conversion, saying, Lord, I don't just want to follow the laws, I want to follow you. Read the Gospels with that in light. There may be certainly circumstances change, but as you read the Gospels and you see what Jesus does, are you being asked to do anything for another? It might just be known between you and that person. It might be just known in the neighborhood or in the parish. You're not looking for, you know, fame. You're looking to serve the Lord more fully. And I'll bet you there are more people in your parish who stand in need. But we're all proud, you know. We don't want to say we have this need or that need. Ask Him. He'll show you. He'll direct you. The Gospel today, Luke 18, says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And the people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, Son of David, have pity on me. Then Jesus stopped. This was not part of his itinerary. He stopped. And he ordered that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He replied, Lord, please, let me see. Jesus told him, have sight. Your faith has saved you. He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. And when they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. See, it's not just following the directions, not just following the commandments, but it's reaching out to your neighbor. No, I can't heal someone from blindness. Probably most of you can't either, but Jesus can. We turn to Jesus and asking Him for help and see what God wants most for that person. I believe the Lord desires that Christians, all Christians, but especially us here in the Catholic Church, I think we need to have more faith, to grow in faith. Just ask the Lord, help me to grow in faith so that I begin to see things in a certain way. I begin to see things from God's vantage point. What would God want? What would God desire in the circumstances? I'm very angry at a coworker. What does God want? I may need to speak to that coworker. Things may need to change in that coworker's life. But how do I approach that? I don't condemn him in front of a group of people. I don't look like I'm so perfectly righteous. I say, Lord, give me your heart for this person and teach me how to help them to change. That's what we want to do. Jesus, teach me how to help this person. That's an act of faith.
Who is the source of all priests
for us? That's what God wants in our world. There's a short article in this little magazine who Saint Rose Philippine Duchesne. She was born in France. She entered the Society of the Sacred Heart in 1804. And after hearing a sermon by a missionary priest, she pleaded to go to the native peoples of the New World. She left France for St. Charles, Missouri in 1817. It was then the remotest village in the United States. She was 49. She spent the next 20 years establishing schools for girls. At age 72, she went at last to the Potawatomi tribe. And a year later, she declared, I feel the same longing for the Rocky Mountain missions and any others like them that I experienced in France when I first begged to come to America. She had a missionary heart. And I'm not saying that we all have to follow that pattern. I'm not saying that. But we do need a heart like hers. She's a good example of saying, what can I do for others? How can I help others? How can I serve others, especially those who are in need? I would venture, if you could walk down the aisles of your parish church, you'd find several people in real need. Pray for your parish. Pray for people, and then ask the Lord, Lord, if you want me to do something, show me or bring me into that person's presence in some way. Help me to know. Help me to know how I can serve. That's faith. That's an expression of faith. We can all say the creed, but are we living it out? And living it out means reaching out. Reaching out to those in need of whatever kind. It might be material. It might be spiritual. It might be physical. Brothers and sisters, ask the Lord to give you a heart for loving others. Give you a heart to get out of our own self-centeredness. You know, it's all about me first, and then if I have time left over, maybe I'll do this for someone else. I'm not saying you reverse that role and do everything for everybody else before you do something for yourself, because that might not be wise for you either. But reach out each day. Say, Lord, is there someone I can help? And believe me, if you genuinely do that, God will begin to bring people into your presence, even if it's only for a moment. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to bring His love to His people. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.